In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
There is a problem every liar faces, reality. Because by definition, a lie is contrary to what actually happened, what someone actually said or did. That's why they have to lie, because what they're saying is the opposite of reality, the opposite of the truth. Because if what you're saying is the truth is what really happened, then there's no reason to lie. But liars must concoct schemes to shore up their version, create false evidence they claim is the real truth. And right now, all across America, our country is filled with liars. And all too often, they work in the public domain. Some of them got elected, some appointed, some hired as bureaucrats. And what makes this all possible is a system that tolerates lies and false information and actively encourages it, all while claiming it's the other side that is spreading disinformation. Yes, liars always say that. But it starts at the top. How many hundreds of people have we seen tell absolute whoppers to Congress, lying under oath, committing perjury, and nothing happens to them? Think of the example that sets. If you can lie to Congress and get away with it, why not lie to state investigators, who also don't punish people for lying? In fact, you have state agencies, like the Maricopa County Commissioners, not just lying to state agencies, but defying subpoenas, even destroying evidence, and nothing happens. What people have to wake up about is that we are at war. The fight for freedom is an everyday fight. And when you're at war, spies and infiltrators can be and are everywhere. There's a simple, straightforward test to tell who's on your side, and it's America first. Do their actions put America first, or do they weaken America? People who want to investigate possible election fraud, that is putting America first. There is no reason to oppose audits. People that won an election by a massive amount should welcome audits. Instead, they spent the last 4 years claiming our elections were hacked by Russians when they lost, but now we shouldn't look? That's known as a tell. But that's not just a tell. It is screaming through a bullhorn that, yes, they cheated. This country needs a massive overhaul and examination of data, going back decades. Everything from global warming to COVID and now, and especially, elections. Because data is the backbone of all three of those. And if you break the backbone, then the skeleton on which their lies are hung falls apart. I'd like to welcome Chuck Weiss back to the show. We always enjoy having good thinkers on iSpy Radio, and Chuck is definitely a great thinker. He's a meteorologist and trained scientist, and unlike a lot of scientists nowadays, he doesn't believe in manipulating data in order to get the results that you want. Chuck, it's great to talk to you again.
Glad to be back, Mark.
Yeah, so we're going to have kind of a wide-ranging interview, but I'd definitely like to start with something that you're intimately familiar with, the weather. We have the state climatologists out there, you know, of course, just about a month or so ago, we had some really hot weather there in July, some record-setting weather, and now we've got a new heat wave coming in this week, and Larry O'Neill, the Oregon state climatologist, said, quote, in Oregon, especially the Willamette Valley, we're experiencing heat waves more often, and they're more intense. So is that true?
Yes, over the last decade, we certainly have. But if you go back far enough in the records, you find that I'm sure there were just as many of these hot spells that we're getting now in the prior records. What O'Neill's missing is taking a look, expanding his scope of looking in the records back far enough in time to see if this was the only time that this happened, and it certainly is not. He's only looking at one decade from 2010 to 2020, and I can tell you right now what the reason for the increase in heat waves was. It was related to ocean cycles. It's nothing more than that. And we've been in the warm phase of the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. It typically runs in 30-year cycles. We switched to warm phase in the year 1977. And in 2007, we went back temporarily to cold phase, but then it flipped back to warm phase again by the time we hit 2013. And we don't know why that happened. Sometimes it does in the record where it doesn't run consistently every 30 years. There are some deviations to it, but we did get a deviation in 2013. So we went back to warm phase, which started the warming up again. We had two back-to-back super El Ninos, and we just came off of those, and the temperature started down again in the year 2020. But what Mr. O'Neill is also missing, Mark, is we not only had this flip back to warm phase PDO, which made this last decade warm compared to the last few decades. What he's also missing is there's a complete disconnect in the global temperatures, because as we have these local heat waves here, the global temperatures have dropped like a rock since the beginning of the year, and that's because this warm phase ended. We're back to cold phase now, and this may run for quite some time, actually precipitating global cooling. And we are getting cooling now. It's totally inconsistent with the record heat wave that we just had.
Well, that was going to be actually my next question is, what about all that record cold and ice that we had this last spring? I mean, our freezing temperature is part of global warming, but I think you kind of got that one. I did find it rather interesting that a few weeks back, and I've talked with both Bob Zybak last week about this and Alex Carlatos before that, is that a few weeks ago, our own governor was out on Face the Nation, and she was essentially admitting that they've been doing force management wrong. And she said that the wildfires are a result of decades of mismanagement of our force. You know, I asked those other two guests this, but I'll give you a chance too. So which party has been determining force management for the last two decades in the three states that make up the West Coast?
Well, it's been the Democrats. That's very clear. They've been the ones running everything, and they are the ones responsible for the change in policy that's led to this horrible mismanagement of the forest, where we're not cleaning up the old debris and old growth, and we're letting it sit and rot and become a volatile fuel to lightning strikes or even human-caused fires. And that's right. Where the problem lies today.
Yeah. And that's really the problem, is they're still blaming global warming. But if you believe that the forests and weather conditions are drier and hotter, then it seems like you really should be doing more management, not less. And yet that's been their excuse as well. It's, you know, climate change. But if you just let it sit around and get drier, you're just going to make things worse. The other aspect of this, too, is that I think reality is finally starting to catch up with them. The spotted owl really has been being killed off, not by global warming or not by timber, but by the barred owl. This is a new study that just came out. And all of us knew this, you know, those of us that were reasonable scientists. But after three decades of destructions, they're finally admitting it now, too. And yet you've got a logging industry that was totally destroyed over a false narrative. But it didn't just destroy timber. It really ruined forest management as well.
Yeah, we had all kinds of big timber companies move out of the state when the change in policy came in the late 70s and early 80s. And that costed a lot of timber jobs in the state of Oregon. And they've absolutely decimated logging because of this. And I think they based some of this on modeling. Modeling has been the ultimate bad news for a lot of what happens in science today, because there's not enough information. The models are imperfect in a lot of different areas to be able to make the sorts of predictions that they get out of them. And we find out later, of course, there are other factors, the ones that you just mentioned with this new species that was the reason for the demise of the spotted owl. And that wasn't factored into anything that they were discussing or decided to make policies over when all the changes were made starting in the late 70s and 80s.
Right. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming up, we'll be talking about Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium. There's been some fascinating developments there. But up next, we'll be talking about the First Amendment, because it impacts everything. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today with Chuck Weiss. He's a meteorologist, trained scientist, and fierce debunker of junk science. And Chuck, we always enjoy having you on to get your opinion on things. And you guys actually had a really interesting discussion on a group that we both belong to, a Google group, Global Warming Realists. And you guys had started talking about the First Amendment. And I found that to be so important right now that we are talking about this, because the First Amendment is the First Amendment because it impacts everything else, every other aspect of life and society. And right now we're being told that we can't post something on Facebook. I myself have been recently jailed from Facebook for trying to post some truth about COVID. And okay, you know, that's a private company. But now we learn that the federal government has been, not just is, but has been working with Facebook and Twitter and other socialist media platforms to take down what it, in its sole discretion, it deems to be disinformation about the vaccines, about COVID, about solutions to COVID. and about the election audits. And, well, you know, we don't even know what else they're trying to ban. So now we have to get this essentially government permission to post something on Facebook. How is that a First Amendment exactly?
It's not. I mean, this is the really frightening thing. And it's been stated by a lot of people in the scientific community that the minute you go after people's free speech, their ability to communicate, once that is destroyed, science is lost. You cannot advance science without a robust discussion of all the relevant facts and from all the sides, and then to take that information and sort out what passes a stink test, what doesn't, until you grind it down to what's most likely the reason for A, B, or C. If you lose your ability to do that, you've lost science. And when we were talking about this today, it's just disgusting that LinkedIn has now blocked Pat Michaels, who's a very famous climatologist, who has been banned on a lot of platforms because he doesn't agree with the anthropogenic global warming paradigm that's produced, that's advanced by a lot of media today. And he was basically criticizing the IPCC's latest assessment that came out and basically pointing out that the media was very flawed in the way they went about trying to say there's a climate crisis ongoing when the report actually says no such thing. And he was blocked from being able to state what his opinions were on LinkedIn, of all places. So there's another social media outlet that's blocking people who have something very important to say, and they did it to him today. So where do we go from here?
Yeah, exactly. And the outcomes of this is the perception that only the government has the true experts on their side. You know, if everybody else is being banned for whatever reason and you don't get to hear the other side, you know, that creates this false perception that the government knows what it's doing, that it has the real data, that it has the real experts to digest that data, and everybody else is essentially a kook.
That's basically the position that they're taking. And, you know, this business with climate change, I mean, I've been fighting this battle now for going on 20 years. And that's what really opened my eyes to a lot of how the government has got involved actively in presenting bad information, to actually falsifying information, mm-hmm. and distorting all the facts about the true aspects of climate to advance a political agenda. And then we saw this take off with medicine. We see it take off now in the political realm. It's just shocking how this stuff is spreading like wildfire and basically being used by the government as an instrument to snuff out our First Amendment rights. It's just terrible.
Well, and you know, that's really the true danger here, is that by taking away First Amendment rights, especially around matters of science, you're no longer allowed to question the official narrative, the official science. But that's really the true opposite of real science. I'm just having a hard time thinking when there would be an instance within legitimate scientific inquiry where you'd be told, oh, my Lord, do not look into that. Don't question these numbers. I mean, can you think of an instance where shutting down scientific inquiry would be somehow legitimate science? And yet here we are.
Absolutely not. And when we had the big June heat wave where we had 116 degrees in Portland, I was shocked at how far up the temperature went, and I wanted to get to the bottom of what actually caused it. So I did my own independent investigation and determined that the cause of that heat wave was from solar radiation. It had nothing to do with atmospheric CO2. I wrote it up when it was on Ed Berry's site for anybody that wants to read it. And that was an important distinction to make, because right away I knew that once we hit 116 and established a new all-time high temperature record, that the government's position would automatically be, and it was, came right out of Kate Brown's office, that this is absolute proof of climate change. We have to act and do it now. We're in a climate emergency, when we're in no such thing, and it wouldn't have made any difference one way or the other about atmospheric CO2. The temperature was going to hit 116 based upon all the other natural factors of that day. And Dr. Cliff Mass from the University of Washington even affirmed all of that, and basically dumped all over their idea using these abuse of statistics attribution studies that try to say that these events couldn't have happened without man-caused climate change. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What they do.
It is ridiculous. But, of course, it has, you know, it's not just opinion. It's not just things about science and whether or not it's legitimate science. It has real-world ramifications, because based on this false notion of that mankind is causing global warming, You've now got the government using that official narrative as the means to push through trillions of dollars of spending. I mean, this is going to impact everybody. But of course, a lot of this stems from the mindset and the indoctrination that's happening right now in our schools, prime example of that right now is a new study came out this last month that said 98% of Oregon's public universities faculty donated their campaign contributions to Democrats. I mean, that's astounding by any sense of the word, that's like more than double the national average.
Well, and it's no surprise that it's happening because over time, Mark, the thing that scares me is I think the university system, the public university system, is becoming an instrument and part of the government collective to force these socialist ideas on our society. And these university professors are donating all this money to Democrats because who gives them money for their research? I mean, this is the vicious circle that exists from the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute that was developed by Ted Kulongoski, and the information they pump out to back to the politicians that give them the ammunition that they seek to make all these ridiculous climate change rules. And the biggest one right now affecting Oregon that really scares me is what they're going to do to the electric grid in the name of saving the planet,
yes,
which will make
yes.
no difference to atmospheric CO2 or the climate. They're going to yeah. destroy it. In the name of this fake science and this bad research they get, they pay the universities the money, which is taxpayer funded, and the universities give them back the information they need and seek to be able to make these absolutely crazy rules. And that's where we're at today with this. It's got to be stopped and changed somehow.
Yes.
And it's been corrupted.
Yep, it absolutely has been. And good luck turning on the air conditioning when all of the electricity is off.
Oh,
all right,
exactly.
Let's go ahead and take a break. Coming back, we'll be talking about that cyber symposium. More with Chuck Wise. And welcome back. We're talking today with Chuck Wise. He's a meteorologist, trained scientist, and the fierce debunker of junk science. And we always enjoy having him on to talk about various topics, especially things that involve data and science. And so, Chuck, I'd like to actually start talking now about Mike Lindell's cyber symposium. I just don't think this has gotten the attention that it has, even within really conservative media as well. And so let's talk about that symposium. And in case people don't know what that is, he's been putting forward the data that he's acquired, including things like packet captures and machine logs and a lot of other analysis. He's even offered a $5 million reward for anyone who can examine that data and be able to prove that it's false or somehow incorrect. So I know that you've had a chance to watch this. Unfortunately, I have not had as much time to watch this as I would have liked. I've been able to catch an hour here, an hour there, and some of the replays afterwards. But before we get into all that discussion about what's come out from that cyber symposium, it's been truly astounding the number of attacks on this symposium. I mean, their system was hacked along with the backup and the backup. They've all been destroyed, but he had even more backups because he knew that they're going to try to destroy all those. So here's the thing. If it's all just a nothing burger, if he's got no real evidence, why go to all the trouble of trying to destroy him and silence him? I mean, let him present the evidence and make a fool of himself.
Well, that's exactly what my take on this thing was, and my interest in this whole election from the get-go all the way back to last November was just the fact that once the election results were made public, simple statistical tests that you could run on rather suspicious looking data didn't pass. The
right.
Benford distribution test didn't pass, a number of others. And so that's what really started to get the attention of the scientific community when they couldn't get simple statistical tests to meter up to the data that was presented. And so they started digging into this further. And God bless Mike Lindell. He's no expert in IT stuff, or he's not a scientist, but his heart is certainly in the right place. And this guy has spent millions of his own money because he's concerned about the welfare of the country. And I exactly share that sentiment. And I applaud him for trying to do what he's doing because he has acquired an amassed the sort of IT talent and the scientific talent to be able to prove the election was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence that he presented at this symposium, I think, is overwhelming. It's
yeah.
just—it's astounding if you actually watched everything that was presented, and we can discuss that if you'd like.
Sure, we'll probably get into that in the next segment here. Well, in fact, I know we will. what's interesting, though, is not just where they attacked through cyber means, you know, where they got hacked into and databases destroyed, but he personally has received an awful lot of threats, including being physically attacked during this symposium at his hotel. He has now had to hire full-time bodyguards. You've had a situation where attendees and presenters have been threatened. One, it looks like, is now being framed by Colorado's Secretary of State. And, you know, just putting aside the revelations, I mean, this is just bizarre what is, you know, they're going to this kind of length to try to shut this all down. And what, you know, once again, we're right back to, you better not dare question our authority.
Yes. And there was an excellent demonstration of this and a parody that was done on it, not a parody, but a comparison of it to criminal cases. There's a lawyer that's presenting today, as a matter of fact, which is, you know, at the end of the cyber symposium. I think it ends sometime today. But anyway, one of the attorneys, Mr. Dave Clements, has done a fantastic job of comparing this case that's going on right now, all the things that are happening to people like Mike Lindell, people that are trying to sort through all this and getting attacked, having their systems attacked, their personal computers and cell phones and everything else confiscated. He compared this to, he calls this a election cartel and compared it to a drug cartel that, you know, the drug cartel murdered people that got in the way of advancing their drug agenda. And the parallel to that he's drawing today was, it is the murdering of the American vote and the citizens' right to vote and free speech that's being attacked by the election cartel and our own government. So that's where the parallel is that he drew, and he's done an excellent job of comparing the two. And that's what's going on in this country right now.
Oh absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You've got the Colorado Secretary of State who is now attempting to frame Tina Peters, who was the Mesa County clerk, for allegedly leaking Dominion passwords. But there was this. Apparently, as she was on her way to the cyber symposium, she revealed, I think she called in, she revealed that the Secretary of State had raided her office. And now the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, had accused Peters of leaking a controversial Dominion password. Except the problem was Peters never had access to that password. Only Griswold did. So it's looking like Griswold is now attempting to frame Ms. Peters there. And then you've got the situation where the Michigan Secretary of State wanted to arrest people and harass them with the police of anyone that was questioning the results or wanting audits. You've got evidence being destroyed. We certainly saw that in Mesa County or Maricopa County, including evidence that by law must be retained, such as ballots, ballot images, registration data, and that sort of thing. Yeah, and, you know, just with all of these crimes being committed by public officials who are terrified people might examine the 2020 election, it's getting downright hard to believe them when they say that this was a fair election.
Yeah, it wasn't a fair election. There's no way by any long shot that you could call it that. The changes that were made that where these people took advantage of the COVID outbreak and the changes in law to all the registrations and the proof of citizenship, all the things that you would want to see done in order to prove you're eligible to vote, they were all scrapped in many of these states and traded for much less stringent things. The voting machines were not tabulating or checking for signatures accurately like they should have been. They weakened the sensitivity of the machine so that they would accept fraudulent ballots. There's all kinds of things that have been happening and affidavits filed from people who were brave enough to come forward. And it's all coming together to show this was a massive attempt on many different fronts to be able to make sure that Donald Trump did not win the 2020 election. There's no question about it now.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a break a little bit early because we're getting into some bigger topics. And we're going to lead off with my biggest takeaway, which is that they have evidence that fraud happened in all 50 states. Stay with us. We'll cover that next with Chuck Weiss. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today with Chuck Weiss. Chuck is a great thinker, a meteorologist, trained scientist, and a fierce debunker of junk scientists, and he's a deep patriot. You know, a lot of times when I introduce you, I leave that part out, and that's really wrong of me, because we are certainly seeing that more and more, how necessary it is to be great patriots and to really stand up for this country. And you know, as I said going out of that break there, my biggest takeaway with what Mike Lindell, another great patriot, is doing, my biggest takeaway is that they have evidence that fraud happened in all 50 states. And that was a bit of a shock, because even in the states that Trump won, they're saying that they were gaming the numbers. Did you catch that? And what were your thoughts on that?
Oh, exactly. And my hat goes off to Dr. Douglas Frank. That's one of the people that was brought into Lindell's expert team. Frank is a physicist, and he got involved in this because a friend of his felt that the election was stolen from her in his home state. And when he was looking into all of that, he accidentally hooked up with Mike Lindell and they put the whole picture together. And what Frank has discovered, he actually cracked the code that's used in these Dominion voting machines and other machines on how they go about stealing elections. And one of the biggest things that came forward that just astounded me was they were not using the voter rolls, the registration voter rolls in each one of these states where the machines were operating. Instead, they needed to pad the number of votes they would need to win an election that they could actually make a prediction from. So they went and used the census data for the state rather than registered voters, because the census data will always be larger, much larger than registered voters. And so that took away the suspicion that maybe there were more votes than voters in the state, because they swapped the databases and didn't tell people they were doing it. Mm-hmm. So then when the votes are cast, they actually make a prediction ahead of time based upon polling, political polling, how many votes they would need to make a certain selected candidate win the election. And they program the machines by a fixed percentage across that domain of voter information they get off of the census data. And then they take a percentage of that, which goes over the actual number of registered votes. That's the pad that they need to win the election. And that's how they were trying to pull this off and did in prior elections. And what he had actually pointed out, Mark, was that Hillary should have won. They were planning on making her win in the 2016 election. They had used a lot of the same techniques then, but what they didn't have and didn't expect was Donald Trump was so popular in 2016 and got so many votes, it overwhelmed their system and their algorithms didn't work, and Trump won anyway. And the problem was they didn't have anything that they could use to back up as a safe stop to make sure that their candidate, which was Hillary Clinton, would have won. So they had to concede, and Donald Trump won.
They also had the issue of timing, because with this election, they extended that time to count the votes, not just throughout the night, but into the next day and then through the next week. And they all blamed it on, oh, it's COVID. We need the extra time to count these mail-in ballots and stuff. But in 2016, they didn't have that luxury. And so
they could not
adjust their algorithm fast enough for when those had to be reported. By law, they had always had to be reported that night.
Yes, exactly. And so she couldn't possibly go in that late in the game and pull off a win like they were planning for her. But when the COVID hit and the rules were changed, that became their stopgap to make sure that they would win this one way or the other. And that's why we saw all these inconsistencies happen on the night of the election, because their algorithms failed once again. Trump was so popular in the 2020 election and won by a landslide against Joe Biden, that again, their algorithm and their prediction failed and they needed something to back it up with, and COVID gave them the excuse. So they stopped counting the ballots at 10:30 Eastern time that night. And that's when we saw the affidavits and we saw evidence of people in these election offices taking phony ballots and running them through election machines to catch up and go through what the algorithm predicted so that Joe Biden would come out ahead. And that's when you saw that huge spike, and that's where statistical tests started to fail, and the whole thing snowballed downward from there, where Joe Biden was declared the winner of the election, even though we all know that's impossible. There's no way he could have won under the circumstances where the data was presented like this. There's just no way.
Well, and just to remind people, we saw evidence of that, or a foreshadowing of that, in Pennsylvania in 2016. Where they stopped the count and they didn't do anything for it. There was like everything was frozen for a couple hours, and they were desperately trying to figure out how do they get enough votes in order to kick her over the top there. And they couldn't, especially with the whole world watching, time ticking down. There was no way to flip that vote. But that's the same methodology that they used in 2020. And just to help people understand what's going on, what happened with this election is they needed a line of credit, I think is how one of them put it, is they needed a line of credit of voters that hadn't voted but were on the voter rolls that they could then claim had voted, and they would invent the ballots for them. That's why you had ballots showing up in the middle of the night that were all these printed ballots just for Joe Biden, not for anybody else. You had all sorts of gaming going on where they would actually go in and flip votes electronically. But it's that bank of voters that you could then pull into for when your guy was short. When you start looking at other things like what's going on around the elections where they don't want to clean up the voter rolls, they are so resistant to that. Here in Oregon, they just passed a law where you can't clean up the voter rolls. It explains why they are flooding the country now with illegals. They don't care if they vote. They just need people that they can register. And of course, here in Oregon, that's what they do. Illegals can now get driver's license. And when you get a driver's license, you are automatically registered to vote. They need that bank of artificial voters that they can then claim voted in order to steal the victory.
That's exactly how it's done. And then where they can't get everything they need from there, that's where Douglas Frank had showed. They went to the 2010 consensus or census data for these particular areas that they were interested in, and they used that and swapped the true voter registrations for the census data. Mm-hmm. So that gave them the pad between total registered voters and the total population of the state. That was their pad. And then they manipulated it as they needed to in order to make sure that their candidate was going to win. But in both times when they tried to do this with Donald Trump, it failed because he was that popular. So on the second try, they came in with all these fake ballots like you were talking about and that I had mentioned. They ran them through the machines. They stopped counting until they caught up with until Joe Biden could catch up and defeat Donald Trump. It was totally fraudulent, and it's very easy to prove, and they have proven it. They've got all kinds of affidavits from people. And then, of course, we've got the data packets that came through the internet that his IT experts had actually captured. And they actually showed the true vote tally, because they were able to compute from that which votes were flipped by the machines and by how much. So they had the accurate totals, and Lindell was state by state showing what the total vote should have been versus what they were reported as because of the machine manipulations and what was going on also inside the elections office, stuffing the ballot box.
Yes.
And so what they need in order to prove their case in court, and this is what's very disturbing, they've got the data packets from the internet to show how the votes were flipped. They've got the IP addresses of the machines that did it, and a lot of this came out of China. But they also need the actual data files and all the executable programs that were on the Dominion machines. And unfortunately, the data is being scrubbed right now. The person from Colorado, Tina Peters, some IT person got a hold and made a forensic fingerprint,
yes,
of one of the Dominion
image,
servers.
Yeah.
In Mesa County, Colorado, and brought that to the IT experts that were working yesterday during this presentation. And they actually went into the files and showed that the Dominion people had been telling all the people after the election, we need to make updates to these machines and do updates to them. And so the county officials are letting everybody in to do that, the Dominion people, and where they came in and did this, the IT expert showed, well, they've taken all these data files from the 2020 election, which they're required to keep by law, and they scrubbed them. They erased them all so that there's no way you could trace what actually happened in this particular machine.
It is absolutely shocking what they have done. More on that coming up with Chuck Weiss. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking about the takeaways from Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium, and we're doing that with Chuck Weiss. He's a trained scientist, believes in real science, and he's also a great patriot. And so, Chuck, going on to that last segment, we were talking about how they've been scrubbing some of this data. And, this has just been shocking to see this happen, but it does raise a rather tricky legal situation. As I understand it, I'm not an attorney, but as I understand it, when you destroy evidence in a legal case, it's assumed that that evidence would have gone against you. So I don't have you heard anything during that symposium, especially from that attorney, in terms of if they've destroyed that evidence, how does that help or hurt them in these cases that are coming up?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I would assume that it hurts them very badly. Dave Clements was the lawyer making a lot of the explanations, or giving a lot of the explanations about this sort of thing to the attendees. And yes, it's true. If you destroy evidence, you broke federal law. That was a big thing that he brought out there. There are punishments and sanctions that are available and should be available to people responsible for doing that. But one of the interesting things he brought up, which I find just absolutely amazing, should have never happened, is in these states where the Dominion machines were placed to do the vote tabulations, the county officials were making, they had actually signed agreements with Dominion, and they were instructed by Dominion that after the election, if anybody comes forward to an election office and questions anything about what's in the machines, they want to see data on the machines, anything that Dominion ran, the county officials are instructed to tell anybody asking, you're not allowed to have this information. I'm going to defer you to Dominion officials themselves. And they also have in that agreement that Dominion would pay for any legal actions that were filed against the state or against Dominion itself, not the the county. And so when you make this sort of an agreement with, you know, because you're the vendor basically to the state, but the state should have absolute control over the election. And the way the wording was in the contract, Dominion was basically telling the state, look, if there's a problem, you tell the people with the problem to come and see us. We are going to handle everything. You do absolutely nothing. And that technically means, from a legal standpoint, according to Clements, that it's Dominion that's running the election, not the state officials. Hmm. And this is just astounding that they would sign any such agreement and allow that sort of thing to go on, to where they're basically controlling everything, and the county officials, when it comes to the machines, have no say over anything. They could only ask about ballots or other things that are in possession of the county, but they can't question anything about the machines. That's just wrong. But he pointed that out. And so if Dominion's doing this, and they are, because they're going around now state to state where there's a desire to audit the election and find out what's on these machines and look at all the data that's stored in them, they're now going around telling the state election officials, well, we have to do these updates or change the batteries. Either way, the data gets completely scrubbed out of the files where it's stored, and there's no way to go back and retrieve it. But you're required by law.
It depends on how they scrub that. I know enough about computers to know that when you delete a file, it's not necessarily gone. Just the pathway to that file has been erased, but it's still there physically on the disk. But you just have to have special software in order to be able to retrieve that. I just can't think that from a legal standpoint that this is going to go in their favor. But at the same time, we've got a situation where not only has our elections been corrupted, but our legal system has been corrupted. Our law enforcement system has been corrupted. How many times did we see people, like in Portland, that break windows, smash businesses, assault people, and nothing happened? And it's the same thing now with these election laws. We know that they broke these election laws. They are destroying evidence. That's a federal crime to do that. I mean, we saw it in Maricopa County. We saw it in Mace County. We've seen it in these other counties where they're out there destroying evidence. That's fine and dandy that you've got these laws, but if you don't enforce them, you may as well not have them.
That's true as well, and Mr. Clements was talking about that. And this goes into a larger picture, Mark, where they were talking about private citizens who are acting as political operatives, namely George Soros. There was a lot said mm-hmm. about George Soros and the fact that he has funded the campaigns of these socialist warriors that are now getting into the legal system, and they're being
the AGs
installed.
And the secretaries of states,
Yes, and Oregon already has one. In fact, Portland has one. The district attorney for Portland is one of these types of people who is being really light-handed on prosecuting any Antifa crimes, but going after anybody else heavy-handedly. And in California, Soros's elected district attorney down there is actually letting people out of prison now and refusing to prosecute a lot of people that have committed some pretty heinous acts. And they've even passed laws down there where they're saying, if somebody goes into a store, I think they already passed this, where if somebody goes into a store, they're allowed to steal up to $900 worth of merchandise before the district attorney will even be interested in looking at the case.
That's
that far out of whack.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. George Soros is responsible for a lot of this. The candidates he backs with his money and his billions, he's getting these people elected with all the fraudulent campaigns about them that he runs. And once they get into power, then they will not enforce the law as they're supposed to. So you're right about that. The Dominion people can be breaking federal law, and they are, by going and scrubbing all the election data from 2020 out of their machines. And if somebody somebody wants to take action, as Clement said, they should be able to do it. But the question is, will they, based upon the way the justice system is being turned on its ear today?
Yeah.
We don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
No, it's hard to say. As I said, my biggest takeaway from that symposium was that they have evidence that fraud happened in all 50 states. But the other thing that I came away with was that this has been going on
for years, if not decades. And the other thing that I found to be really interesting in there, and I know that you did too, Dr. Shiva had an incredible presentation that he was exposing not just big tech, but the how big tech works with big government and politicians of both sides.
Yeah, there's what he actually dug this up by doing his own research. There are organizations that have been put together that connect government to these internet companies, tech companies, and big businesses, where they basically communicate information back and forth. And if they find somebody that is against their political objectives, that are the people in this group, go after them, which they went after Dr. Shiva, and it caused them to be banned from being able to go onto Twitter and on the internet and on a number of other places that the social media tech giants control, and basically block them from getting their message out. And it's a organization that it's actually got a structural tree to it. And he showed this in his presentation. And so we have definite proof that there's a group of citizens now. So there are a few of them, I guess, are politicians, but they are the connecting valve to the political class and people in the political power structure that are basically marrying private enterprise to government and making it come down heavy-handedly on people to block them from disagreeing with certain political agendas. This goes full circle back to the beginning of our conversation and how your First Amendment rights are being destroyed. And once they do that, they control a lot
That's
of everything.
Right. That is exactly right. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll wrap things up with Chuck Weiss. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're on our final segment now with Chuck Weiss. He's a great thinker, meteorologist, trained scientist, and fierce debunker of junk science. And lately, that's not just weather-related stuff. That is the election fraud as well. And, of course, Chuck is a great patriot. And so, Chuck, in the time that we have left, I'd like to return to that little bit that Dr. Shiva was talking about, where it is this network of collected interests and whatnot to basically steal elections. But the surprising thing from that particular presentation, and we'll make sure that we put that up on today's show page as well so people can see that. It's only about a half hour. But I guess looking at that, it shouldn't have been a surprise that Republicans were in the thick of that as well. And I say it shouldn't be a surprise because here in Oregon, for a number of years, pretty much since I first became involved in politics back in, I think it was 2009, there was a lot of suspicion that Democrats had infiltrated the Oregon Republican Party. And now when you see things like what Dr. Shiva was presenting, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that was in fact true.
Well, I think it is true. You've definitely got what you call the rhino herd in the Republican Party. And those are people that simply are, for people who don't know the term, it just means you're a fake Republican. You're not really Republican, but you ran in an election based upon those principles. And then when you get into office, you betray the electors who put you there by doing the exact opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. We have, 10 of those right now in the federal government,
yes,
in the U.S. House and Senate, that are going to go ahead and pass this monstrous, $3 trillion boondoggle. They voted for it, even though it's got just terrible stuff in there that doesn't do anything. It should have never been passed. It's basically a give back to those who helped push Donald Trump out of office. It's just a big raiding of the Treasury. And yet 10 Republicans voted for this. And so, yeah, it's no surprise. We've got a severe problem with this. And the Democrats from their side of the aisle, they have a problem. Just a garden variety Democrat has the same sort of problem with the fact that their party has been infiltrated by hard left communists and socialists. Ilhan Omar and some of the others that are now in the U.S. House of Representatives, these people hate this country. Make no mistake about it. You can tell by the things that they say and the actions that they take as being in that party. And they're no part of what a garden variety Democrat would be. And I think some Democrats are probably waking up to that, but they've got a problem there. The bottom line, though, is everything, if you combine the two parties, everything is shifting further and further left. And there's definitely commingled interests here that have to be purged out, and true values have to be restored like they were maybe 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, today's Democrat is nothing like the Democrats that I knew as a kid. And today's Republican is nothing like the Republican I knew as a kid.
No.
It's all shifted way, way further left. And it's this sort of philosophy being interjected from both sides of the aisle, the rhinos and the people on the left in the Democrat Party, are going to destroy the country. They're basically trying to undermine and subvert the Constitution to where it means nothing anymore. And they're well on their way to doing that with what we see going on now.
Yes, they are. You know, we have covered in the past a book called Disinformation, and if people haven't read that yet, I would highly recommend that. And this was the guy that ran the disinformation campaign for the Soviet Union back in the 60s and 70s. And by the time he defected to the United States, he had recruited a million people here in the West who would work with the Soviets to push and promote communism here and to infiltrate positions of power within government, within the theater, within movie industries, you name it. Any position of power they wanted to get you into, including and especially the media. And I think we are still seeing the ramifications of that, because he said by the time he left, there was a million agents. And when I asked whatever happened to those, he said, as far as he knew, they were still there. And so, of course, they're going to be spreading that influence. We have to realize that we are at war, and you are seeing that. And of course, the best way to wage a war is to wage a war that you're not even aware that you're fighting. Because when you've got infiltrators inside your own, within your own fort, that makes it really hard to win those wars. It makes it hard to expose it, because you don't want to believe that your allies are actually your enemies.
Well, that's exactly true. But one blessing that's come out of all of this that Mike Lindell has talked about, and I wholeheartedly agree with him on this, is that these people that have been operating in secret for quite a long time now, probably the last 20 or 30 years, and quietly building a communist infrastructure inside of this country, in government and in academia, these people were doing it very quietly, and they were very, very conspicuously hidden from a lot of what the public could see about them. And now this Trump uproar and the fact that they were so desperate to get this guy out of office has now exposed this, and now the people should be waking up from this and realize, my God, this is not the country this is terrible what these people are trying to do to this country. And now they finally come out of the woodwork, because they had so much hatred for this man. They've exposed who they are and what their methods of operation were and are in our own government now, both from the climate change movement all the way up to politics.
And the thing that people don't realize is that they just don't care if they lose the next election, because the problem is all the damage that they have done after this election. They just voted themselves $4 trillion. That's going to fund their operations for decades. Chuck, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, you're welcome, Mark. I'm glad to participate in this, and I'll be glad to help with anything you need in the future.
Oh, you bet. One thing the left does very well is they play the long game. That's why I would not be surprised if Democrats stonewall and drag out election fraud investigations until after the 2022 elections, which the left will lose massively. That way they can say, see, there was no cheating. If there was, why did we lose 2022 so badly? And Republicans will shrug and say, huh, guess there wasn't anything there. That's how the left operates. They are more than happy to take one step back if they have taken two steps forward. That's why when we win, we can't forget. We can't just let this go. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.